Hey, biohackers. Earlier this year, I upgraded one of my favorite biohacks for longevity and overall wellness. I added in an NAD plus nasal spray, which is super easy and convenient to take every day. It gives me a natural energy boost, and I know I'm supporting my longevity. And if you've been a longtime listener, you probably have heard us talk about how important NAD is for overall health. And if you haven't heard of NAD plus, well, you're missing out on one of the most exciting breakthroughs in longevity and wellness. NAD plus is a powerful peptide found in every cell of your body. It fuels energy production, supports cellular repair, and plays a key role in slowing the aging process. But as we age, NAD levels decline, leading to fatigue, brain fog, and sluggish metabolism. That's where Effecty comes in. Effecty's NAD plus therapy helps restore those levels, giving you a natural energy boost, improving focus, and enhanced recovery, all with a simple injectable or a nasal spray for anyone wanting to go needle-free, like me. And the best part? It's 100% online with fast shipping, no hidden fees, and unlimited access to licensed doctors. You can start feeling the benefits in no time. Ready to recharge your body? Right now, our listeners get $50 off NAD Plus longevity treatments at effecty.com with code BIOHACKERBABES. That's EFFECTY.com and use BIOHACKERBABES at checkout to get $50 off. No hassles, no memberships, no hidden fees, just real results. So get started today.
Hey, biohackers, if you are using a protein powder, you really need to hear this. Recently, the Clean Label Project tested 160 top-selling protein powders in the U.S. and found that nearly half of them exceeded the Proposition 65 safety thresholds for lead. Okay, now that is definitely not what we want from products that are supposed to be supporting our health. And to make matters worse, most protein powder brands will not reveal their testing data on heavy metals like lead, so we could at least make an informed decision about what we want to expose ourselves to. This is why Renee and I are so happy that we found Puri's PW1 whey protein. Not only is it the most delicious protein powder I've ever tasted, but every single batch is third-party tested by the Clean Label Project for over 200 plus contaminants, and no product is ever sold unless it passes these tests. Puri is the only protein brand in the U.S. that has a Clean Label Project transparency certification, achieved because they make all of their third-party test results available via a QR code on label, so you get to see exactly how clean the product in your hands actually is. I don't like to play favorites, but the bourbon vanilla is so, so good. It blends really easily, and I feel so good consuming it because there are zero artificial ingredients, and there's no overly sweet or strange aftertaste like a lot of protein powders out there. Each serving provides 21 grams of minimally processed, clean, high-quality whey protein from pasture-raised cow's milk. No hormones, no GMOs, and no pesticides. If you want to make sure your protein powder isn't hiding any nasty chemicals, I'm telling you, switch over to PW. I'm confident you are going to love it. Here's even better news. If you check out Puri today, you get 20% off or almost a third off the price if you choose the already discounted subscription. Trust me, you're not going to want to run out of this stuff. To grab this deal, visit www.puri.com/biohackerbabes and use our promo code biohackerbabes. That's PURI.com/biohackerbabes. All right, biohackers, let's get back to the show.
We're digging deep and asking the questions we need to ask. Years of stress, and not just emotional. I was depleting my body. I was malnourished.
I'm working out like crazy. I'm eating all these healthy foods. How could I not be well?
We have to get back to the basics.
We can change the way our genes are expressed.
Anyone that wants to improve their health or upgrade their health, they should be biohacking. My name is Renee.
And I'm Lauren. We are the Biohacker Babes. We're sisters, and we're joining forces to empower you to become your own biohacker and upgrade your life.
The Biohacker Babes podcast aims to create insight into the body's natural healing abilities, strengthen your intuition, and empower you with techniques and modalities to optimize your health and wellness. Because life is too short to not feel your best every single day.
This podcast offers health, fitness, and nutritional information and is designed for educational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. If you have any concerns or questions about your health, you should always consult with a physician or other healthcare professional.
Thank you for joining us, and welcome to the show.
Welcome to episode 41 of the Biohacker Babes. I'm Renee, and I'm here with my sister, Lauren.
Hey, everyone.
So today we want to talk about reducing your toxic load. So most of us are stuck in our homes way more than we're used to. And surprisingly, your house can actually be one of the most toxic places. So if our windows are closed, you know, we're even more worse off, I guess I would say. Like we're just bombarded with chemicals, whether it's the flame retardants in your furniture to your personal care products in your bathroom loaded with xenoestrogens. Maybe it's the chemicals in your cleaning products, but all that's flowing through the air. And if, again, your windows are closed, it's just like a cloud of chemicals you're being exposed to. So we're going to talk today about, you know, a little bit of the sciencey stuff, you know, what's going on with these chemicals, and then we'll get into the biohacks of what we can do about it, how we can eliminate it and support our body. So this episode is really for everyone that's stuck at home. I mean, hopefully you're just hanging out listening to the Biohacker Babes right now, but this is also
all you're doing.
That's all you're doing. I mean, come on, we're better than any Netflix show right now, right? Tiger King has nothing on the Biohacker Babes.
Nope.
So if you are bored, like why not take this time to clean out your bathroom products, start looking online for some better options. You know, we're just trying to give you some more fun activities to do while you're stuck at home.
It's funny, Renee, when I was thinking about doing this episode and just the inspiration behind this topic, I actually initially was thinking this is a really good time to work on some healthy habits that you can take out into the real world to reduce your toxic exposure. So it was like, okay, get used to drinking out of a water glass rather than a plastic bottle. Like you're at home, you don't have to drink out of plastic, right? You can just go to the kitchen and fill up your cup. But we really have to look at the home. It's like, if we're trying to protect ourselves from the outside world, we might as well start in our own homes and like in our own bodies. Step one, right? And you're right. Like the home can be so incredibly toxic. And if we're sitting around, it's a good time for spring cleaning, right?
Yeah. That's interesting how we kind of have two different approaches to the same topic, but either way, get rid of the toxins.
I'm right with you. And the reasoning why we need to look at this, it's so important because before we get into all the science, like the gist of it is, and we've talked about this on a previous episode, like one of our very early on episodes was about reducing toxic exposure, but we could talk about this forever because it is so pertinent to your health. Like I think this could be a huge missing piece of the puzzle when it comes to health and wellness and like really getting your health on track. And before I go into all the stats, the scary stats about it, we're really talking about like fat here, fat storage, disrupting your hormones, disrupting your sleep, and just creating toxicity in the body, which makes you age faster. So just keep that in mind as I'm going through these stats because it's affecting all of us in a really scary way.
So, yeah. And if I can simplify why most people are sick, it's usually too many toxins, not enough nutrients.
Exactly.
If you want to make it really simple, get rid of the toxins, increase the nutrients. Of course, there's a million ways you can do that. But if you make it really simple, there you go.
Yeah. And just like a prime example of this, like for those of us that are at home worried that we are going to gain weight while we're sitting at home in quarantine and we're trying to do every free workout that we see on Instagram. And, you know, we're really just so focused on like the fat loss and maintaining whatever muscle and whatever fitness goals we have, but we're not looking at these products that are contributing to our fat storage. Like we're not really going to get very far.
Right. Those obesogens, which I know we talked more about in that last or that episode early on, the obesogens are those chemicals, like you said, they're getting stored in the fat. It's like that's easier than maybe diet and exercise. In a way, right? Just getting rid of the toxic products. So, but
I mean, it's a huge piece. It's a huge piece that we can't ignore for sure. I mean, don't stop exercising. I want you to do that, but of course, you gotta look at this stuff. Okay, so here are some stats about just chemicals in general. And this really goes for the United States because we allow way too many toxins in our products and in our environment, which is really sad. There are 84,000 chemicals that are registered for use on the market. There are only 40,000 actively in use, but we have access to 84,000 total. And of those 84,000, only about 200 have adequate safety data, meaning there hasn't really been adequate research, or if the research has been done, have like such a long way to go as far as like getting really clear information about what this is doing. Like, I think the testing is a little skewed because a lot of the times the testing is done on amounts that are much lower than what we're actually being exposed to. So something could be deemed as safe, but the testing was on like a much lower exposure. So how can they say that that's safe?
Yeah, basically we have the saying like chemicals are innocent until proven guilty in the US, right? It's like the lack of testing. Companies are able to just put chemicals into their products and put them out on the market before all the testing is done. So that's why we kind of say like it's innocent until people start getting sick or dying. And I think a case we can all remember is the Johnson & Johnson baby powder. I mean, that was huge and super controversial. It's sad that Johnson & Johnson had like millions of dollars to throw at, you know, lawyers and covering up the whole issue. But this product was out there making people sick for decades before we even knew. So that's just one example of where that's happened in the US.
But they cared about a profit. Interesting.
Yeah. I think they ended up paying out, I don't know, something crazy, like $70 million or something. But to them, like, that's pennies, you know, when they're they're making billions off of one product. So
yeah.
Anyways.
So we're really not being protected by our federal policies, and there's not a lot of requirements for chemicals to be tested before going to the market. So the responsibility is falling on us. It's falling on the consumer. So we really have to step up and do our own research, try not to fall prey to just advertising, marketing, products that are supposed to save you from X, Y, and Z, because they're probably wreaking havoc inside of your body. Okay, so what else do we know? Prior to 2016, there was no requirement that chemicals be tested for safety prior to going to market. That is terrifying. Also, the CDC has measured more than 300 chemicals inside of our human bodies. And that includes pesticides, plastic compounds, non-stick chemicals, heavy metals. Oh, I had another stat somewhere. It's like, here we go, 98% of us have bisphenol metabolites in our urine. 98% of us. And I think a lot of us are probably at this point avoiding BPA, right? Like, that's not a new word. That's not a new term. We've been hearing about it for years, and we're still getting 98% of us are testing for trace amounts of this. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, it's just coming in so many different ways. Like, I think even something as sneaky as you go out to a restaurant and you eat meat, and that meat was at one point wrapped in plastic wrap. You know, like, it's just impossible to totally avoid.
It is, but we can do what we can do to avoid
our best
most of the time. Because, yeah, I think avoiding 100% of the time is unlikely, but there's a lot of stuff we can do on our own to protect. So the problem is that these chemicals are endocrine disruptors. Your endocrine system is your hormonal system, and they become hormone mimicking in the body. So they mimic naturally occurring hormones, and they can inappropriately turn on or activate a hormonal response. And as smart as your body is, it can't tell the difference. So it doesn't know whether this is supposed to be happening or not, but it just happens. And so something that's really useful in a lot of these studies is looking at the PPAR gamma pathway, which is the master regulator of adipogenesis, which is fat cell development, right? And what happens is it can activate this pathway, but it downregulates activity. So it can selectively alter its activities. It can choose what it wants to do. So normally the PPAR gamma pathway will have like create a balance in the body. But when we have these endocrine disruptors, which are mimicking our hormones, it goes down this, like, it takes a rogue path, basically. So there are many studies, like one particular of studying the PPAR diverting the pathway more towards adipogenesis, which is the fat cell development, and away from osteogenesis. So that's just like one of the many outcomes that can happen from these endocrine disruptors is that we lose bone mass and we get more fat cell storage. So basically we're like modulating the transcription of these downstream genes, which we do not want. And then that has a very direct correlation with obesity, which nobody wants. But beyond just obesity, obesity leads to so many other things like insulin resistance, glucose intolerance, dyslipidemia, cardiovascular disease, which interesting to think about this cardiovascular disease is it really about the toxins more than the fat ingestion? We have to look at that.
And all those things we know for current events increase your risk of catching a virus, right?
Yeah. Yep. Really good point. One more thing in this category, BPA specifically, which is the big one that most people know about. BPA can alter leptin and ghrelin, which we've talked about on this podcast many, many times. It's your hunger satiety hormone. It tells you when to eat, tells you when you're full and to stop eating. We do not want that to be altered because then our brain just has no idea when we should be eating, when to stop, which is not good. So one more specific thing we can look at, and I can go on forever. Phthalates are highly associated with chronic inflammation and allergies. So maybe stop blaming the springtime. Sure, we can be allergic to things that are found outside in nature and in trees and the blossoms, but you probably have an overexposure to these environmental toxins. So again, we're coming back to why it makes you hotter. We are increasing our fat storage, aging faster. And I think this is a huge missing piece.
Yeah. I mean, I think toxins and the connection to how it makes you hotter, just think about someone that smokes cigarettes or someone that's an alcoholic, right? Just something as simple as that, right? They always look older than they are.
Absolutely.
It's from the toxin exposure. So yeah, we're all going to look much healthier and brighter if we eliminate the toxins.
Cut the shit out.
Let's do it. Awesome. So of course, debate and controversy. So I have to say, like, the number one thing I always hear about when we're talking about like toxins and detox, people are like, oh, that's a bunch of BS. We all have a liver and the liver's job is to detox. Yes.
Yeah, but it can only handle so much.
Yes. Our liver was not ready for the year 2020.
Oh my gosh. That's so true.
Right? Like, think about what our livers were detoxifying 200 years ago, just an example, right? Of course, there were chemicals, there were natural chemicals that we were exposed to. But today, when you think about all the things I talked about in the intro to today's episode, the liver is just so overwhelmed. And the more overwhelmed your liver is, the less your liver can do what it needs to be doing in other ways, right? Our liver is really important as part of digestion and hormone balance. But if it's too busy detoxing the, you know, the phthalates and the BPA and the alcohol and the cigarette smoke, you know, it can't do all the other amazing things that it should be doing. So that's why we want to boost detox, right? We're not saying your liver doesn't already do it. It just needs extra help in the year of 2020.
Yeah. By reducing the burden.
Yeah. Make its job easier. Come on.
Yeah. That's a great point. I think another point to consider in this debate controversy is that people will say, like, everything is a chemical. We can't avoid chemicals because chemicals are natural. Like, water is a chemical, right? Like, we're drinking water. Structurally, yes, it's a chemical. Well, and this is kind of like a rabbit hole, but what kind of water are you drinking? Because water can be super toxic depending on where you're getting it from, how you're drinking it, how it's entering the body. It really has to do with like the actual toxicity of the chemical. And some people really say like, the dose determines the poison. I'm not sure how true that is because in my mind, like, a poison is a poison.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that, Renee?
I feel like you could argue that both ways, right? Like, anything can become toxic or poisonous to the body, right? I mean, you could technically drink too much water, right? You could like drown yourself. But water is a necessary thing. And then, of course, like you said, like, what's in the water? But when you look at something like mercury and arsenic, well, it's just a little bit of mercury. It's okay. Well, no, it's toxic. There's no safe level of mercury. Same goes with fluoride and arsenic and all those. So I don't know. I think it's...
Yeah, I'm not going to gamble with that one.
Depending.
All the dentists out there that are saying, like, fluoride, just a small amount in your toothpaste is totally fine.
Right. But they're not accounting for
it to the burden.
Right, right. But how about the fact that most people, when they brush their teeth, they swallow a little bit of that toothpaste. They maybe brush their teeth 2 to 3 times a day, every day. Like, they're not looking at that total exposure.
Yeah.
And plus, toothpaste, check the label. It says, if swallowed, call poison control.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, exactly. Try and tell me that when you brush your teeth, you're not swallowing any of that. Like, come on.
Yeah. But you're talking about moderation, but there's so many other factors to consider, like how you metabolize certain things. We have different genetic pathways and different predispositions to certain things. So like that's something to consider in this. How is your own unique genetic material handling this chemical? Could be different.
Right.
Ours could be different, right? We talked about this in the last episode with fad diets. I can handle more saturated fat than you can. So how can we say saturated fat is good or bad, right?
Right. Right. Yeah, that's where the testing and the biohacking comes in. This is actually funny timing. I was just reviewing a lab result with a client this morning going over. She is actually a really good methylator, but she has a high toxic burden in her body. And she was like, how is that possible? You know, and I'm like, you're different. You know, are you exposed to more toxins? Is it the detox pathways? You know, so that's where some really cool testing comes in to show how different everyone is.
Absolutely.
So we have some tips for you. Right? This is never a doom and gloom. There's definitely some awesome things we can do in the biohacking realm. First up, water. Let's jump into water since we were already kind of talking about that.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things we have to look at with water. I would love to start with just like, what are you drinking out of? Right? We want to get rid of the plastic bottles, use a glass water bottle, even like stainless steel, I think is okay. But I personally love glass and I think the water tastes better. It's just a little bit heavier to carry around.
Yeah, I agree.
Is that what you use, Lauren? Use a glass bottle?
I use a glass bottle. And yeah, I do think it's heavy, but I also, I mean, I try not to spend too much on buying water bottles, but like I have some mineral waters that I really love, like Gerolsteiner, Topo Chico, those are in glass bottles. So like I'll buy one of those and maybe refill it a few times. And like, if I decide to get rid of it, it's not the end of the world. It's going to be a little safer for the environment. It can be reused and it's glass. I don't think there's a perfect way, but I'm not going to mess around with plastic. Even like the reusable water bottles, I think even if they say that they are free of BPA, I'm not convinced that they're still safe.
Well, they could have BPS,
so many other things.
BPB.
Phthalates.
There's so many bisphenols. Like who decided to market that bisphenol A was the toxic one? Like, what about bisphenol B and bisphenol S? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think that's the marketing trend now. People got wise to the fact that people are learning about BPAs and that was just the one. So now everyone is marketing BPA free and ignoring the hundreds of other toxic chemicals that could be hiding in that water bottle.
Right, right.
So just because it says safe on it, it doesn't mean it's safe. Like, do your own research. You can't just trust what is put in front of you at the store. And just because it's recyclable doesn't mean that it's safe. You know, like they say, like you have to avoid plastic number 6 and number 7, but like number 1, number 3 is safe. But no, number 1 contains PET, which when exposed to heat or sunshine releases toxic chemicals. Number 3 contains PVC, which contains what Renee just mentioned, phthalates, that interestingly enough can cause male traits to become more feminized. That's terrifying. That list is really endless. So I think just question the word safe. Who wrote that word on the bottle?
Right. And like you said, the whole thing about being exposed to heat, I think people assume that, oh, I'm buying the plastic water bottle from a refrigerator at the store. So it's cold. It's okay. But you don't know where that bottle went to get to that store. It was probably in a truck for 2 days in the heat. You know, you just don't know. And every time it's heated, those chemicals leach into the water.
Exactly.
And it just happens over and over again. Yeah. So I really like Life Factory. That's my go-to, the glass bottle.
I think stainless steel is probably okay. But I prefer glass like you. Stainless steel straws. I mean, I think it's easier to get away from plastic straws because they are being banned everywhere, but that's an easy one to carry around with you.
Yeah. It's a good thing to work on now.
Yeah. Next thing I would say, don't drink from a coffee lid. If you can, like bring your own mug or bring your own, like you can buy like a silicone lid and swap out the plastic lid. I want to say Starbucks is working on getting a safer lid material, but they haven't yet. But like hot coffee being filtered through that plastic lid, leaching chemicals every time it goes into your mouth. I mean, also maybe you just don't want to buy coffee out. because that's a whole nother rabbit hole. Like
that's a whole nother episode.
Coffee and mold. I know.
Oh gosh.
I'm victim. Like I like buying coffee out. Like sometimes I'm on the go and I just love getting a coffee to go. And even more so, I love like the mobile checkout at Starbucks. I don't want to wait in the line. I want to walk in and pick up my cup, which means I can't walk in there with my own mug. I have to get the cup that's put on the counter for me. So if that's your journey, like me, you got to swap out the lid or just throw the lid away. Don't drink through the plastic. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's in the actual cup too. I think that's probably not safe. So
yeah,
maybe you just drink out of it less. Maybe you try to bring your own mug. Maybe you just always make your own coffee at home.
That's what I do. Yeah. But if I lived in New York, I'm sure that wouldn't be the case.
Yeah, it's hard to do 100% of the time. But again, this is just about reducing the burden. Not being 100% perfect.
Personal care products. We won't harp on this too much. We have a whole episode about this, so definitely go back and check that one out. But I think this is a really good time to go sit in your bathroom, pull all your products out, take like 30 minutes to do this, and you're going to pull up the Skin Deep database on EWG.org, which is the Environmental Working Group. And just one by one, plug in every product. Shampoo, face wash, body lotion. Just type in the name of the product and then that website will give you a ranking of how safe it is. So it'll go from 1 to 10, 1 being like green, really healthy, good, 10 being red, the worst option. And then just make a list of everything and decide, okay, I'm going to get rid of the worst products one at a time. I'm not saying just go throw everything out and buy all new stuff today, but just as you run out of products, slowly start to replace them. This takes time. Like it took me probably a year or two to fully do this. And then what do you do next if your products are toxic? You know, Lauren and I love a couple of really good companies, Beauty Counter, Anne Marie Gianni has a great line. What else do you use, Lauren?
I mean, Beauty Counter is my main. I do some Drunk Elephant products that I have like checked for toxicity and are like not so bad. For makeup, I like Tarte, but there have been like a few products that I looked up on EWG that were surprisingly toxic. So I've had to swap those out. Mineral Fusion is great. I don't use this one, but I have done a lot of research on it. Juice Beauty tends to be.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah. And then Alitura is also a great option.
Oh yeah. I love their face mask. That's a good one.
Yeah. All of their ingredients are like from the earth. That's their thing. It's just getting like really clean natural compounds from the earth. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the face mask, but I don't know why it kind of smells like the Chesapeake Bay to me.
Oh, I know that smell.
Yeah. It's almost like if you walked through the Chesapeake Bay and just like scooped up the mud from your, like below your feet and put it on your face.
Well, that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my skin glows after, so I should probably do that today now that I think
that
about
works. Yeah. Renee, I didn't actually know that EWG had a ranking from 1 to 10. I thought that it went to 5. I don't know if I should be embarrassed about that, but when I've seen a 5 on there, I've like freaked out and I dropped the product. I'm like, I gotta get rid of it. I had no idea that it went to 10. That's sounds pretty intense.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, what is a 10? I don't think I've ever looked up a product and found it to be that. I was actually playing on there this morning and sorry to shout out this one, but like I looked up a Neutrogena product for a client and it was a 5.
Okay.
So, you know, middle of the ground, but I would still try and stick with 1, 2, maybe 3 if you had to.
Yeah.
But
ooh, I'm going to look up the 10s after we get off this recording.
You have to let me know what that is.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to recap that, like go back and listen to our episode on personal care products. We go into this stuff a little bit deeper. That was, feels like a long time ago, but
we still stand by that. First. Yeah.
Next up, easy one. Open your windows and get as much fresh air as possible. The weather is getting warmer. I know we've had some random cold days like across the country, but nothing beats fresh air. If you can't get outside and take a walk and expose yourself to sunshine and fresh air every day, at the very least, just open your windows.
Definitely. Yeah. And then one step further, if you can invest in an air filter for your house or your apartment, whatever. I personally have the Rabbit air filter just because when we first moved to Vegas, and I think this is a Vegas thing, like we just noticed like our countertops and our dresser, like everything had this like weird dust, almost like a sandy dust on it. Mm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this apartment is toxic. What's going on? But then I started talking to people that live here and they're like, oh no, that's like the Vegas dust. That's a thing. And I was really grossed out. So I was like, okay, we got to get an air filter for this little apartment. And so after lots of research, we ended up getting the Rabbit Air. And within like 5 hours of that being plugged in, that dust was gone. I have not seen it in 16 months. So
wow.
Doing something.
And that's a HEPA filter, right?
Yeah. I mean, it has a couple different like layers. It's the maintenance is a little much. Like there's a layer you have to vacuum. There's a filter you have to replace. And sure. But I think it's worth it.
That stuff goes somewhere. So.
Right, right. Yeah, it definitely builds up.
Take out the trash.
Yeah, and I know some other really good ones are like Molecule. A lot of biohackers have that one. Lauren, I know you mentioned like Honeywell, AeroOasis. So there's more and more coming out, which is awesome. So if you have any questions about which one, definitely ping us and we'll chat.
Yeah, in general, like anything that uses the HEPA technology is really good. I think Molecule is technically not HEPA, but their research shows that their models are actually even stronger than HEPA. There's a lot of research out there. So just start searching on your own and we can provide some resources. Next on our list, another option to clean your air at home is to use a diffuser with essential oils. That's really great for cleaning the air. Certain oils are really great. Tea tree is awesome. Eucalyptus. Chrysanthemum, which is actually NASA's choice. They like stand by chrysanthemum for cleaning the air out.
Oh, wow. That's so
cool. A lot of citrus oils, peppermint. And, you know, they all smell really good. Eucalyptus and peppermint are especially good for like cleaning out the nasal passages, helping you to breathe a little bit better. Citrus is really energizing. So the effects are plentiful. You know, there's lots of things that the oils can do on top of just cleaning your air. So it's a nice option.
I like the citrus too for like a brain boost. Gives you like mental clarity. Yeah.
I love orange. Sometimes I'll just, this sounds crazy, but I'll like shove a little bit up my nose just so I'm like trying to wake up. Like,
why not?
Oh, good morning. Orange.
Good morning.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. When I diffuse the citrus in the house, my husband says it smells like the Soarin' ride at Disney. Do you remember that where like you soar over the orange groves of California?
Yes. I love it.
Anything to take me back to Disney. I'll take it.
Awesome.
So good. Awesome. Okay. Cleaning products. This is a big one. There's like definitely different levels of how clean you can get. There's a lot more options you can just buy. Things like Grove, Thrive Market, Young Living with all like their Thieves household cleaners. Those are great options. I think even to some extent like Mrs. Meyer, Seventh Generation, like they're a little bit cleaner than maybe your more typical Lysol and crap. But then if you want to go one step further, you can actually make your own. I mean, you can literally Google anything like make your own household cleaner spray, make your own dishwashing detergent. You can make anything from like vinegar, lemon juice, baking soda, like simple ingredients.
Oh yeah. You just named the top three. You don't need more than that. Or like just vinegar. I know mom just sprays vinegar on the countertops to clean them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And there's even like vinegar products now where like they just do vinegar and like a couple ingredients. Like my version of Windex, I guess, it has vinegar in it. So that's what I clean all my mirrors and tables with. So
yeah, I think like over sterilizing anything in the home is really scary. One, because you're being exposed and inhaling those chemicals, but two, like we need a little bit of bacteria. I know we're all deathly afraid of bacteria and viruses right now. So like the Lysol, the bleach, anything that's just going to like kill. But like we need some bacteria because that helps our microbiome thrive, right?
Yeah. Another Which reminds me of a really, there. What was that?
Another episode there.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully you're writing these down as we go. Another really great product is Home Biotic Spray. So what you said just reminded me of that. It's like a probiotic for your house.
Yeah.
So it helps to control like fungus and mold, anything that maybe would be growing, but it keeps it balanced. So it's not like Clorox bleach that just kills everything, including us.
And then it like has fumes. Like I can't see all the fumes.
Yeah. It definitely smells toxic. That's your first sign.
Yeah.
But yeah. Home biotic.
You know, sometimes you just need like some soap and water on your counter, honestly.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Yeah. Okay. So I think the bottom line from this episode should be like, we want to avoid this toxic exposure or avoid the burden, like overloading the liver. And we can do that just by avoiding plastics at all costs. I think do your own research, but from what I have found, I want nothing to do with them. And it's not reasonable to think that I'm never going to come into contact with them. Like, yeah, every now and then I'm out and I'm going to buy like some kind of beverage that comes in a plastic bottle. But 99% of the time, I'm going to try to avoid it. So avoiding is the number one tip. And then we didn't really get into this, but like if your liver is overburdened, then maybe we can supplement and help out the detoxification process. But I think just starting by cleaning out your home, doing some spring cleaning and avoiding as much as possible. And then when we come out of isolation, you have all those habits in practice. Maybe you have bought some new products. I know it's really difficult to order and get things shipped, but order it now and hopefully you will have it by the time this is all over, right?
Yeah, take the time to do it. And like you said about overburdening your liver, I love the analogy of the rain barrel. Like our liver is like the rain barrel, right? It can like fill up so high, but when it starts spilling over, that's when we see autoimmune conditions, cancer, skin disorders, you know, all these things start to pop out.
Cardiovascular disease, chronic inflammation.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get into the effect that environmental toxins have on pregnancy and babies before they're even born. That's a huge thing.
Yeah. I mean, you could just Google that, you know, what chemicals are they seeing in newborns? It's terrifying. I don't think you can have a baby nowadays that's free of chemicals. It's just impossible.
No, but again, so just, well, I like that analogy, keeping the rain barrel from overflowing.
Yeah. And I thought just to add in, if you want to maybe learn a little bit more about this topic, but be entertained, two really good movies. One's a documentary called Toxic Beauty, which you can just actually buy online for a couple bucks if you want to watch it from home right now. That one actually talks a lot about the Johnson & Johnson case, which I learned a lot about that I didn't even know about from the news, but also just what's going on in the beauty industry. And then for more of a Hollywood feature film, Dark Waters. This was terrifying. It's all about the controversy behind the DuPont scandal. I think it started in like the 90s, but it went on for like 15 years. I had no idea. So you'll learn a lot about, well, what happened at DuPont, but also just like legally what goes on with these huge corporations and how they get away with this stuff. And Mark Ruffalo, yeah. How do you say his name? I love him and he's the main actor in it. So it's like entertaining and educational all at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have plenty of time to watch movies right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just fit some education in there. There's lots of time.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. I hope you gathered something from this episode. We are going to put lots of resources, so just scroll down to the show notes. If you have any questions, as always, you can DM us on Instagram, email us at biohackerbabes. Let us know what you think about this episode. Check in with us. We are here for you in isolation, and we will see you next week.
Love this episode of the Biohacker Babes podcast? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We truly appreciate your support.
Until then, happy biohacking.